Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. You know the drill. 615-737-1025. If you have a question for Derek, you can call us. You can text us again. 615-737-1025. It can be about sports. It can be about life. And in honor of Mother's Day, it can be about mom. And that's where we're going to start.
Yes.
Because one texter wants to know, Derek, what your favorite memory of your mom is.
My mom has been deceased for some years now. But my favorite memories of my mom, really, it was when a good part was when I got older. And when you get older, you sort of appreciate, you know, your parents a lot more, I think, because now you're a parent and you understand some of the knucklehead stuff that you put them through. And then you start to understand why certain things happen. And I just think getting a phone call from my mom every morning, that is what I remember the most. No matter what, she would call, you know, whether I answered or not, or if I was busy, she made sure she called in the morning. And if I didn't pick up or I was at work, she would always leave a message telling me to call, or she would call late in the evening. So that's what I remember the most about my mom.
Another texter wants to know, when was your mom maddest at you? What did you do, and how did she react?
Man, when I burned my sister's foot with the firecracker.
Oh, you told this story.
Yes, tell it again for those who haven't heard it.
So, I'm glad D-Mace is still around after that.
So my parents, they were going over my grandmother's house, and they were taking the younger ones with them. And it was around 4th of July. And my dad specifically said, do not, and I repeat, do not touch fireworks, as all parents do around that time when you're little, you're younger. So they left and left my older brother in charge. I forgot what my older brother was doing. He may have been in the house. So my sister, who's younger than me, a few years younger than me, her and I went in the backyard. And my sister was, she's down like 4 flat tires. She had on these shoes that were called, they were plastic shoes. They were called jellies. And they were summer shoes, and they, you know, just plastic and open and whatnot. They were for girls. So I decided, hey, let me put this firecracker on your shoe and let's see what happens. Not knowing that the firecracker that I put on her shoe wasn't actually a firecracker, even though that would have been bad too. It was one of those firecrackers that you light it and it spins. And fire comes out of it. It don't just say pow. It spins and zzz. Well, what happens when you add fire to plastic? It melts, right? Well, it melted right on my sister's foot. It was bad. But my sister was a trooper. Because I was like, I begged and pleaded her, don't tell. Now, mind you, we were young. I said, don't tell, please, please. She said, I won't tell. So my parents came home. And they called us upstairs, and my sister didn't want to go upstairs. So she finally had to go upstairs and tell, because I had wrapped it up and everything. Like, my parents were not going to see it. I wrapped the foot up and everything.
This is fine.
Woo, boy, that night, boy, I swear, my parents weren't at the doctor's emergency until like 1 o'clock in the morning. I thought I had escaped. Like, whoo, I'm not going to get it. At least not tonight. Nah, buddy. No, no, no. I got woken up or awakened by some yelling and by a switch.
Ooh.
The yelling was from my mom. The switch was from my dad.
Jeez, not a good way to wake up.
No, it's not. And I really wasn't asleep, but I tried to pretend as if I was asleep. Like, they're not going to mess with me if I'm asleep. Nah, buddy, that don't work. Not in my family anyway. So, yeah, I think that may have been the maddest my mom had been at me.
Willie, can you top that?
No, I don't think I could top that. I do. I think my mom got most mad at me one time. We've had the discussion about the TV dinners, the Salisbury steaks, and
yes,
you know, that used to be like a special thing for my brother and I to get the TV dinners, some kind of TV show that we were both fired up to watch, and my mom would bring them out there. We'd be sitting in the TV room, you know, usually you didn't get to do that, sit in front of the TV, but we were ready to go. And I had a great idea one time is, hey, I don't like peas. So my brother, he's younger, he's watching the TV show. I'll just one by one put my one pea at a time from my plate into his plate. Great idea, right? Hey, peas are gone. I've eaten my vegetables. I'm ready for dessert. The problem is my brother didn't like peas either. So we had a huge pile of peas on his side. He hadn't eaten any of them, and I got none on my side. So my mom wasn't born the day before. She looks at that pile. She knows exactly what has happened. And so I was toast. I was sent to the room.
With no dessert.
No dessert and no prayer of getting out of the room anytime soon after that. You're out of here. It was like getting the heave-ho from a basketball game. Just, you're gone.
You're ejected.
Yeah.
How about you, Adam?
It's a good question.
Adam never got in trouble.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I did get in trouble. It wasn't burning my sister's foot with fireworks.
Yeah, I'm the only, you know, pyro around here.
I do a little bit of a pyromaniac. You learn something every day about Derek Mason.
Conspiracy theories and pyro.
Conspiracy theories and starting fires. Okay, this is a really random one. When I was younger and I would want to sneak a treat, like a piece of candy or something, you know, I would sneak down to the kitchen, grab a piece of candy or a lollipop or whatever. And so I didn't get caught by putting the wrapper in the garbage. I would flush them down the toilet.
Oh.
And one time, the toilet backed up. And I was caught red-handed.
Well,
I clogged the toilet with my wrappers.
There you go.
So
that'll do it. You can't get around that.
No,
there's no getting around that.
There was no excuse I could possibly make. The wrapper just fell in there.
No,
it just so happened to be in the toilet.
It was like that when I got here. I could not blame.
It's interesting. That's the kind of candy bar you tend to like, Adam. How did it get down there?
Oh, yes. But I love my mother. She's wonderful. She's a wonderful grandmother as well. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We'll get to your questions again in just a moment. Again, if you have questions for Derek, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But I have a job for all of you, especially those of you who love the Tennessee Titans. I have a LinkedIn page. I'm not searching for work right now, but I look at LinkedIn every once in a while. And there is a section where it says top job picks for you. And it suggests jobs based on your resume and your work history. Like, hey, this job could be great for you. So on my list of top job picks for you is coordinator, mascot, Tennessee Titans. I'm like, huh, is this the person who's in charge of booking T-Rex appearances and maintaining his calendar and making sure he gets to all of his events. Birthday parties and events and stuff. No, this is a job to be T-Rex.
Wow.
First of all, why am I being recommended that job? I have zero mascot experience.
I could just see you as a mascot.
I don't think I would be the peppiest mascot. But I'm looking at the job requirements, and I read the first one, and I had to stifle my laughter. The first job requirement, a bachelor's degree. Why do you need a bachelor's degree to be a mascot?
You can't talk. Nobody's supposed to know who you are.
Right.
So what good is that bachelor's? It's great to have one, but what good is that bachelor's degree inside of a costume that no one can ever see or hear you?
Let me list off the other requirements for the job, and they all make sense.
Yeah.
A minimum of 3 years of experience as a mascot at the collegiate level or with a professional sports team required. Makes sense.
Okay.
A minimum of 3 years of experience maintaining an entertainment/performer schedule and calendar required. Makes sense. Must be able to travel and transport the costume to offsite appearances and community events as needed.
Okay.
Proven ability to think creatively. Excellent oral and written communication skills. Again, you're not talking in the costume.
Exactly.
Must have a valid driver's license. That makes sense. But if you don't have a bachelor's degree, you can't apply.
Are there things that T-Rex is doing? Is he putting together contracts? Is he doing speaking engagements? Because the last I checked, I don't think I've ever heard
T-Rex
speak.
Spreadsheets involved in this? I don't know. But a bachelor's degree is required. So if you do not have one, and there is no shame if you do not have one.
Yeah,
not everybody goes to college. If you do not have one, do not bother applying.
Yeah.
You have to have a bachelor's degree.
Is that a rule or a guideline? Come on.
It says required. It says required.
Yes.
But if the person shows up to the job interview and you're like, I'm so impressed. Maybe they didn't know that you had to have one. But you're just blown away from this person. And then they show you. They're like, okay, let me see your bachelor's degree. And you're like, what? Bachelor's degree? Do you think you could overcome that? And you're like, oh, we'll put it aside for this.
It depends on how good of a mascot you are.
That's what I'm saying. If you're just born to be a mascot, I feel like they might overlook this fact, this rule.
Listen, the Titans have been changing. They have changed sort of, you know, regimes as far as GM, and they're changing things within the building. So they could be changing how T-Rex interacts. It's no longer just him interacting with you within the suit. It's him interacting or her outside of the suit. But then that takes away the, you know, what would you call it? The
mystique?
Yeah, the mystique of who T-Rex is. So
that's part of the shtick is you keep your true identity.
Exactly. So
to
why
yourself.
Don't So again, why is that that should be one of those things that are not requirements but can help.
Highly recommended.
Yeah, recommended.
But not required.
Also leads to this discussion. If it's required, but you feel like you were born to be a mascot, would you forge, would you fabricate a degree so you could qualify for the job?
Oh, man.
Like, people have been fired for fabricating things on their resume, right? That's been a thing. We've seen that with some college coaches. Famously, I forget the name of the coach that got the Notre Dame job, but he had embellished his resume and he never got the coach. Was it O'Leary, I think was his name? George O'Leary? Is that popping into my head? You can look that up, Adam. But that could be a great controversy. The Titans hire the best T-Rex ever. But they come to find out he forged a degree. He didn't really go to college. So they fire him because of that? What if he's just great at what he does?
Here's what happens. The applicant almost pulls it off, but then someone notices that his degree from Columbia is from Colombia with an O instead
high
of a U.
Columbia High School?
Exactly.
No, from the country.
Oh, the country, Colombia.
And now you'll get a degree from America, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. All right, let's get back to the questions. Oh, Drew says, speaking of Columbia, Drew says, Drew in Columbia says, Adam, what's the compensation like? It does not say.
No, it doesn't.
I don't believe Tennessee is one of those states that requires you to put the salary range on the job applications.
I'm not sure.
So I don't know what the compensation is, Drew, but what would it take for you to be the mascot? Brian says, what else does the mascot do? Teach calculus? Another texter says, the Titans ran that job description through ChatGPT and didn't proofread it before posting it to LinkedIn. That could be
it's possible.
But look, most jobs require a bachelor's degree, so you know, you just kind of pop it in there. But again, the idea of, Willie, you meet every single qualification there is to be T-Rack. You are the most experienced and successful mascot who applied for this job. However, you did not graduate from college, so we can't hire you. Like that would be controversial.
It would be very controversial.
That's all I'm saying. Richie on our text line says, D-Mace, if you were paid to go skydiving, how much money would they have to pay you to do it? And who on the station would you take to go with you?
Okay, I have been skydiving before. I went on my son's because my son wanted to do it. My son is I have an adventurous spirit, but his is times two. He is like, he's more sort of an adventurous type of person. So he wanted to, you know, jump out of a plane on his 21st birthday. So it was like, okay.
As one does,
as every 21-year-old want to do. I doubt it. But he wanted to go. And I said, okay. Because I was supposed to go two times previously with friends. And both times, they just got postponed because of weather. So I said, okay. I do it. My son wants to do it, so I do it. My daughter did it as well. So I don't mind doing it, but I said that would be the last time. I did it, scratched it off, bucket list thing. I'm not doing it anymore. So if you want me to do it again, it's going to take some money for me to get up there again. It may not take, you know, six figures, but it'll take a little bit of change to get me back up there.
And who on the station would you take with you?
Oh, man. I think I'm like
not,
anybody.
I'm not doing it.
No,
so.
I think like anybody, I would take Nick. Because I think if anything happens in the air, Nick will figure it out before we hit the ground. Am I right? Am I wrong?
I think I'm right. You're 100% right. Exactly. It's a great choice. So, Derek, were you attached to a professional person doing it? Or
yeah.
You...
Yeah.
Okay.
I still was. The scariest part about the whole thing wasn't actually jumping out, even though that part was like, but they do it so quick where you don't have time to think about it. It's just they make sure they got your buckle. They say, are you ready? And then they say, one, and then you jump out. So they don't give you that opportunity to, okay, one, two, three. No, they just go. But it's the 15 to 20 minutes you are circling getting to 15,000 feet. That is the scary part because now you're on basically a crop duster with maybe two other people in there that are going to jump, a pilot, and you're circling and everything's shaking. And you get to think, like, why am I up here?
Right.
That's when it's because you got time to think about what you're actually doing. So that's the scariest part.
And did you second guess? Did you come close to saying, I'm not doing it?
I second guessed it, but I was never at a point where I was like, okay, I'm not doing this. But I was up there like, man, this is it. I ain't doing this. This is be the last time. I'm not doing this no more.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your questions for Derek on Ask D-Mace as we do every Friday during the offseason. 615-737-1025. If you've got a question for Derek, call us, text us. We'll get to your calls and texts coming up next. 615-737-1025. Don't miss GalaxyCon at the Nashville Fairgrounds May 29th through May 31st. It's a three-day festival of fandom with celebrities, artists, entertainers, and more. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/events. D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Wrapping up the week with Ask D-Mace. If you have a question for Derek, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Mike from Old Hickory, who has been waiting patiently. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just want to ask kind of an economic question looking forward. We're still building the new Dome Stadium And now that we've got our team in place for 2026, what I want to ask is, what is the revenue generated by the Titans playing two games, preseason, eight games at home under the Dome Stadium, or even before it gets completed? Then what do we do? What does Amy do with the other 355 days of the new Dome Stadium? So I'm just kind of figuring out here, how much money do the Titans actually bring in an open-air stadium like we have now? Mm-hmm. And then how much money do we bring in into a Dome Stadium, the Titans? And then Amy says, okay, that's only 10 games. What do I do with the other 355 days, bringing in, say, monster trucks, worldwide wrestling, concerts, and everything else?
Thank you for the call, Mike. It's first of all, I do have a bachelor's degree. It is not in economics. So I can't answer the specific financial question you're asking.
I mean, it'd be easier to find what they generate during the season in the old stadium. I think that's a little bit easier to find
out. Was his question,
what it will generate the dome, in a new stadium? We don't know
with the
yet.
Roof, yeah. You have the opportunity to have a lot more
stuff. Yes,
of course. Uh-huh. Of course.
So I'm sure they...
There's talk of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. There's talk of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So the big ones are obvious, right? Yeah. They come into play. But I think the day in and day out is a really good question, because it takes a lot of work. And you got to find the right events. Not every event wants to be at a stadium that big, right? Sometimes you want a smaller venue. But I am curious how that fits into already what we have in terms of concerts alone, right? You've always got these great venues. Sometimes it's great to go to a concert that's only got room for 500 people or 600 people, whatever. Sometimes the arena is the perfect place. Sometimes you want to be outside and not inside. But now with the stadium, I am curious myself. It's a good question.
I think a lot of that stuff, I think, like with the new stadium, whether it's a big, venue, meaning a concert, something that, it's going to be 60,000 fans there or possibly even more. But I think on the day-to-day, there are things that they do day-to-day within rooms inside of the stadium that they rent out. Now, obviously, it doesn't generate the money that, say, a concert will, but I'm sure you leasing out a room to do a meeting or whatnot, after a while, those things start to build up. And again, it's not as much as you're going to get for WrestleMania or a college football playoffs or, some concert that may come through here that will seat 60,000 plus. But I think there's an everyday sort of workings within any building, that especially a building like a stadium or something, where there's always people in there somehow, some way, and those rooms can be rented.
Let's go to our friend Adam from Portland, who's allowed to call us because the Predators did not win the draft lottery earlier this week. Adam, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
I was going to stand by that, dude.
I believe
I
you.
A lot of people would have loved it, but that's all right. So, hey, D-Mace, so I was a D-Mace fan when you were wide receiver 3 and 4. I didn't jump on the train when everybody else did. I saw you do things before everybody saw you do things. I'll just say that. With that being said, can you understand why it would hurt some fans for you to go to Baltimore? Because I made peace with it, mm-hmm. and but Baltimore took so much from this franchise, man. Like, every opportunity, a lot of our good players are great players, you included. Like, can you understand why fans would not be okay with that? Like, I understand it's a business, but can you understand why fans would go, ugh?
I mean, thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. I get from a rivalry standpoint how, you never want, one of your best players to go to the rival team, because now you think, oh, man, that means they're going to be better. So, I do understand that part. But then I hope fans understand that a lot of at least back then, a lot of times, it wasn't because the player wanted to leave. it was because either the organization felt we're paying you too money, you're not producing well, or you've been injured. And I really, I mean,
salary cap, I fell into the salary cap
sort of bracket. I hadn't even reached the peak of my game just yet, or I was just reaching it. And, you know, I wasn't hurt ever, really. So it was more so of the finance. And when it's finance, there's nothing you can really do about it, you know. At that time, I offered to restructure the contract. Like, let's just redo the contract, because they had did that with several other players. So my thing was, it was never done with me, so can they do an extension or a restructure and I get to stay here? And at that point, listen, they were grossly over the cap. And I can see if it was just me they cut, but they cut some really, really good players in 2 years. I'm talking about the year we all got cut, me and myself, Samari, Kevin Carter, Joe Nettney. There was just like two or three other more players. And then the next following year, obviously, Steve McNair. And then the year before that, it was Eddie George. So,
right.
You know, I knew it was going to come. And my thing was, well, if I'm leaving, I'm going somewhere where I know I have a really good chance at winning a championship. And I wanted to play the Titans again.
So, and you did.
Well, I think that was part of it, Derek, mm-hmm. as I think back to it, to where Adam's feelings were coming from, which mm-hmm. he wasn't alone. But
yes,
when it was not just you, it was you, Steve McNair, and Samari Roll. Like those are three key guys for a 5-year run that was pretty special mm-hmm. for the Titans. So it really, really stung to see all three of you guys on the arch rival, the most hated rival mm-hmm. at the time by far. That was tough.
One text,
and it's not nobody's fault.
Yeah, it's just the way it's like. Nobody wants to go to a crappy team.
But did you ever, like, you didn't get with Samari Roll and said, let's go to the Ravens?
No, I didn't, because
it was
signed,
just coincidence that all three of you ended up over there, right?
I signed with Baltimore first, and then like a day later, or it might have been a couple of days, then my agent, because Samari and I had the same agent, and then the agent said, well, you're going to have company. Samari is going to be, and I was excited because, listen, somebody I know, somebody that comes from sort of the same tree, meaning, you know, here in Nashville and playing winning football. So I was excited about that. But no, yeah, it was me that started it. I didn't look to start it, didn't want to start it, but it got started.
Okay, I'm about to stick it to one texter. One texter says, my son doesn't think you'll read my text on the air. Can you shout out my son, Colt? I'm a big fan of the show.
Colt!
Colt! You the man.
You the man, Colt. You
the best. Man. Colt.
The best.
I mean, Titans fans might not like your name, Colt. But shout out to Colt. I'm not afraid to read things on air.
No, not at all. Unless it's just something that you can't read on air.
Well, of course. I mean, we don't want to get kicked off the
exactly.
air.
But we
like our jobs.
We tend to read everything, no matter if it's, you know, agreeing with us or not agreeing with us.
Now, this is all I'm going to say to you, Colt, because your dad claims that you didn't think I would read this on the air. Now you got to get something out of your dad. Like, if you're on your way home or something, go get a treat.
Yeah.
And tell them I sent you. I always find that very odd. Sidebar. I know that's part of the radio world when you listen to a read. It's like, this is Willie Don. They can tell them I sent you. Do you think anyone's ever actually done that? Not for Willie specifically, but do you think anyone's ever walked into a business and be like, Derek Mason sent me.
You know, I did that.
Sometimes they ask you, right? Sometimes the business will say, how did you hear about us? Because some businesses want to know what's working in terms of how they got the word out, right?
Yeah.
No, so you're sometimes right. that will elicit the response. But, yeah, I've never gone in there and say, hey, let me just tell you before we even start chopping. Derek sent me over here.
I'm here because of Willie Donick, not because of anything else.
But like, if they ask how you hear about the place, then, yeah, you would say, well, I heard it on 102.5 The Game from Willie, Adam, Derek. Willie, Adam, Derek, or David.
Did Mark call in unexpectedly?
They're like, David who?
No. But, I mean.
Shout out to Sugar Free, by the way. Mark, if you're listening, shout out to Sugar Free.
You know Mark listening.
One texter says, if Mike Vrabel were your head coach and you were still playing, would what he did have any impact on how you practiced and played? Would you respect him as much? We sort of talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, we did. I think how I practice and play, no, it will not. But how he, I think players see if there's any subtle changes or whatnot with the coach. I think players can sniff that out or players can figure it out, especially if they've been with a coach for some years and he's always been this way or she's always been this way, and then obviously something happens. And it doesn't even have to be what happened in Vrabel's and Donna Russini's case. It could be something else. But if you see some change, players do notice that stuff. Now, I don't know how many players feel confident enough to say something to the coach. I would tend to say none of them, really. But they do notice it. And that's when the talk amongst everyone else starts to happen within the locker room.
Willie, quickly, because you were not on with us yesterday when we were talking about the latest in the Mike Vrabel, Diana Russini saga. Do you think there is a chance that he is not coaching the Patriots at the start of the season?
No.
You think he will be the coach?
Chance.
Okay. Interesting.
I think he'll be the coach of the Patriots for sure.
Okay. 6-1-5-7.
Do you guys disagree?
I openly wondered yesterday if these stories continue to trickle out and TMZ and the Daily Mail and Page Six are all on the hunt for every story they can publish about Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini. I wondered if that continues to happen, if someone at the NFL says to someone at the Patriots, hey, this needs to stop. This distraction needs to go away. I'm wondering if something like that would happen.
It would, and I said this yesterday, I think it would have to take sort of, and again, it's not comparing. I'm not saying I'm comparing this to what I'm about to say, but it's something like that. It's almost like I need to see a video or I need to see something that's irrefutable that tells me, outside of what they've already shown, I need to, if something else
but what,
comes
so,
out.
So what would it need to be that we know?
I am not going there.
Some sort of tape, Willie. Yeah. You can fill in the blank.
Okay, yeah. Right. But even if you did, it's like, duh, we already knew that that's been, like, I think it's been established that they've had a relationship that has crossed the line.
A relationship of 6 years.
At
and
least.
The last video,
and that's that, right? So what else? Like, what
the,
else? Do
the
we
last
not know?
Video I, we saw, they were in Putnam County.
Putnam County.
Cookeville. Cookeville.
Cookeville.
Cookeville.
Cookeville.
The last video we seen of them, she was clearly with child. Clearly.
Oh, she was preggo.
Yes. And he was about 15 paces behind, purposely. Purposely. That's why I said, Willie, everybody's now thinking, and there's only one thing that can sort of be the trump card, like this ace right here. If this comes out, I don't think there's any protection. I don't think you can give him enough protection. I just don't think you can. There's no way you can. I mean absolutely no way you can. Do you? But you know what I'm talking about. But do you think that they can still give him protection based upon that?
I think he's already been left unprotected for the most part. Like, mm-hmm. He's taking the heat right now. And I feel like it just would really surprise me if it would go up another level. He's going to take his lumps from a PR standpoint for a while, mm-hmm. and it'll go into the regular season. But I would be really surprised if something else came out that would take it even up another notch. I think we've seen what happened. It was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. They haven't fired him. He hasn't. The commissioner has given him the pass of it's not a personal conduct issue, so he won't be suspended. So I just think it's going to be what it is.
615-737-hold that thought. 615-737-1025. We'll take any other questions you have for Derek. And we'll wrap up the week coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Wrapping up the week. All right. Let's make a prediction. By this time next week, as we're going off the air, on May 15th, will the Predators have a GM? Derek, yes or no?
No.
Willie?
I'm trying to think if the second round will be over by then. I think it will be. It, at least in most of the series, it will be probably by then. I would say I think there's a good chance, yes. So I'll guess yes.
Okay. Here's
how
my
about
answer.
You?
I hope so.
Well, that's not an answer.
Exactly.
You asked a question. You got to guess.
I'll also say no.
Okay.
But I hope I would like to have something to talk about, a GM to talk about.
Well, that's the incentive. We want to talk about it. We want to find out who it is. But
yes.
I mean, I still don't think there's anything significant that is happening that they have to do it by then. It just would be nice if they have the right person, but you got to know who you want.
I was talking to somebody earlier today who presented the opposite side of the argument we've been having, mm-hmm. where we've talked about, hey, they're doing their due diligence. As Elliot Friedman has said, there's a curveball in there. The Predators are taking their time. They're not in any rush. And most of us have thought, you know, I guess that makes sense. The person I spoke to said, it makes them look incredibly indecisive that it's been more than 3 months since Barry Trotz announced his retirement, and they still don't have a GM. By the way, reportedly...
Well, they have a GM.
Well, yes,
it's not
a
like
new
they
GM.
They vacated
yes.
the position.
But a new GM, yes.
Well, but I think it's important to remember. It's not like there's nobody in the office, and stuff is piling up, and everybody's looking around going, hey, we got to do this, we got to do that. Like, they are operating with a GM who is on the way out, but he's still there. You know, there's still people in the office. They're doing things, but I get the point. But it is important to note.
There were reports
they didn't fire their GM,
right?
Right. If they fired a GM, yes. and they had some interim person, it is something that I'm sure they feel like they can transition from.
It's been reported that the Vancouver Canucks are deciding between a couple of people, so it appears the Canucks search could be coming to an end. I don't think – I hear what Willie is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. I don't think it's a great look if the other teams that fired and hired their GMs before the Predators hire their GM. I understand Willie's point. The Predators still do have a GM. It's still Barry Trotz until they hire somebody else. But come on, guys. Pick it up a little bit. That's all I'm saying. I want something to talk about. Because look, as much as we've talked about what the Predators could mm-hmm. do this offseason, a lot of it hinges on who they hire. So until we know who that is, there's still part of the conversation we're unable to have. And I would like to have that conversation, selfishly. So Predators, come on!
Hey, perfection takes time, man. Mm-hmm. They got to get the right person.
We'll see. We'll see if next week they hire a GM. Four games across the NHL and NBA tonight in the NHL. Game two, Montreal at Buffalo. That game's about to start. Puck drop near the top of the hour. Game three, Vegas at Anaheim. Anaheim tied the series in game two, so 1-1 apiece there. An 8:30 p.m. Central puck drop. In the NBA, Knicks at Sixers. Knicks up 2-0, 6 p.m. tip-off. Spurs at Timberwolves, 1-1 in that series. Tip off at 8:30. So basically, you'll have to choose. Well, no, you won't have to. You could do the multi view. They're not all on at the same time. But
all right, I got a question.
Yes.
Do we think the Spurs, at this stage of their emergence, mm-hmm. could hang with Oklahoma City, or do we think Oklahoma City is just the team to beat right now, and should go on and win the whole thing?
I think when
can
you
anybody
have,
hang with them?
I think when you have Victor Wembanyama, you have a shot.
Yeah, I think
it may not be a great shot, but you have a shot.
But this is a young team. meaning the Spurs. And obviously they're being led by Wemby, he's going to be the face of the NBA pretty soon here. But they're still a young team. And when you look at OKC being led by SGA, that's a veteran team that's won a championship already. So they know what it's like playing in a seven-game series at that time. Now, I think San Antonio won the season series against them, if I'm not mistaken. But you know as well as I know, Willie and Adam, in the season is different from playoffs. And, you know, when that's the only team you got to play and you're game planning for that team only in a seven-game series, a lot of times it tends to go to the team that is veteran but also is really good. And both teams are really good, but if I'm looking at it from that standpoint, I'm thinking that, you know, Oklahoma City and SGA, I can't see San Antonio beating them. Could they? Yeah, but in a seven-game series, I don't know. I don't think so.
Willie, how do you think the two games in the NHL are going to go tonight?
I think I'm most intrigued. Well, look, the Buffalo-Montreal series, in terms of the theater that they're in front of, the raucous fan bases, the starving fan bases, both from traditional markets, are going to be awesome. Like, it's worth watching for that. I think that I'm going to stand by this. I think Buffalo is just a little bit better than Montreal. I could be wrong. Montreal is super exciting. But I'm going to go Buffalo there, and I am really intrigued with how Anaheim is pushing Vegas. It looks a lot like Vegas' first series. You got the Wiley vets. You got the team that's been around the block a few times. But they are not as quick. They're not as fast as Anaheim. So they have to work around that. And Anaheim's got to be pretty confident. Going back home with the split, that is going to be a heck of a series, I think. Tonight is huge.
Absolutely. That'll do it for us today and this week. We hope you had a wonderful time with us, because we had a wonderful time with you. We will be back Monday at 3 p.m. reacting to the news of the weekend. For all the moms out there, this is your weekend. Have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. You deserve it, especially my beautiful bride, Bridget. You got your shout out. Mm-hmm. This counts as a present. Just kidding. Love you. We'll talk to you Monday at 3.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day and weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be back to discuss everything that happened this weekend starting at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, who's not here anymore. I still want to say happy Mother's Day to her. And to the kid's mom, say happy Mother's Day to her too as well. But
Diego Pavia's mom.
I didn't
Don't
say
forget that. About Diego Pavia's mom.
Oh boy.
Exactly. Willie's gonna get himself in trouble. But as I say, every day, we'll see you 3 p.m. 102.5 The Game, because we be talking
and you be listening.
Thank you. Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.